From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Dr. Alan Cairns today continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In the current message, he's dealing with the inspiration of the Bible. The text is Ephesians 6, verse 17, the last part of the verse, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. According to both the Old and the New Testaments, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Dr. Cairns has been showing that the existence of the sword of the Spirit is divine. Because of that, the excellencies of the Bible surpass those of any literature created by human hands. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, why did Christ have to be virgin-born? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Jesus Christ had to be virgin-born for various reasons. Number one, the Old Testament had said the Messiah would be virgin-born. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, says it very clearly, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, that was what the Bible had predicted. In fact, the very first messianic promise in the Bible was given by God when he was placing the curse on Satan following the fall of man. And in Genesis 3:15, he speaks of the Messiah as the seed of the woman. And that was a description and a prophecy of a miraculous conception and birth, a virgin-born Savior. So the Savior had to be virgin-born because that's what God had predicted in prophecy. There's a deeper reason, there's a theological reason why the Redeemer had to be virgin-born. Anyone born of natural generation, no matter how godly and holy his parents may be, is born a sinner. In Adam, all die. The Bible tells me in Romans 5, verse 12, that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed, and literally passed through upon all men, in that all sinned. That's what the Bible says. So, whoever was born of man and woman, the conjunction of man and woman, is necessarily born a sinner. Had Jesus Christ not been virgin-born, he would have been born a sinner. There's a third thing. Anyone born of natural procreation is born a human person. A human person, fallen in Adam, needs a Savior. He could not save. So therefore, God sending his Son into the world united the eternal Son of God with a human nature, not a human person. However difficult it is for us to distinguish those things, the Bible makes a lot of the distinction, and on that distinction depends our whole salvation. So, yes, he had to be virgin-born, and that is fundamentally the reason. Now, the question as to, well, why was it not trumpeted? Why was it not trumpeted? Well, just stop and think for a minute. How could it be trumpeted? How could you prove to someone at the time of a woman's conception or the birth of a child that she had not known a man? How could they have proved that? they would have been laughed to scorn. Furthermore, even if you could have proved it, what on earth would make anybody think that proving a miracle would mean that people would have accepted the Christ and all that he had to say? You turn to the New Testament. Did thousands not see him feed people from 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Did they not see him give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, raise the paralyzed? Did they not see him raise the dead? There was a crowd the day he stopped the funeral procession, and when the widow of Nain was following the coffin of her son to his grave, were crowds there. They saw him raise that young man from the dead. There were crowds who saw him raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. There were crowds of Jews who saw him call Lazarus 4 days stinking in his tomb, call him forth, bound hand and foot, bandaged from head to toe, so that it's impossible to walk. They saw him call him out of the grave and say, loose him and let him go. Hundreds of Jews saw that. Hundreds of Jews actually probably even held converse with Lazarus afterwards. Yet none of this impelled them to believe on him. You see, it is a fallacy to believe that if you simply give sinners enough evidence, they'll accept it. It's a fallacy to believe that if you simply give sinners enough miraculous sign, they'll accept the truth. No. You've got to understand that the heart of man is deceitful above all things. Sinners are set in their sin, and they'll even make God a liar. According to Romans chapter 1, they'll turn the very truth of God into a lie in order to justify their own sin. So, why was it not so much more widely trumpeted? I think the answer is very clear. The proof of the virgin birth would be in what have called the virgin life, the sinless life of Christ. The proof of the virgin birth would be in the atoning death, and particularly in the bodily resurrection. The proof of the virgin birth is in the person. The Bible presents the whole Christ, the entire package, as the object of our faith. We believe it, and we, having come to believe it, recognize the grace of God in giving that faith, because without that divine gift left to ourselves, we'd be just as blind as those Jews who would pervert even a miracle and deny the sight of our own eyes and the hearing of our own ears, and in the case of some in Galilee, even the tasting in our own mouths. We would deny all that in order to justify ourselves in staying in our sin. So those are some reasons why Jesus Christ had to be virgin born. Without a virgin born Savior, you would have no divine Redeemer. That's the ultimate necessity.
Them all to the tree.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
What is the Old Testament? It is the word which the Lord of hosts hath sent in His Spirit by His prophets. Now that's the claim of the Old Testament. It's also the claim of the New Testament as it confirms the Old. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, or every Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. Every Scripture is God-breathed, as it literally signifies. 2 Peter 1, verse 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. He says, and this is a very, very important reference that we will have cause to return to in a totally different connection, where the Apostle Peter looks at the Old Testament prophets and he says that it was the Spirit of Christ that was in them. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of Christ. And what they said, according to Peter, it was the Spirit who signified that. Now let's get this very, very clearly. This is the New Testament, and it's explaining, and it is confirming what the Old Testament claims for itself. Turn to the book of Acts, and just see how there you've got the claims of the Old Testament, and they're all well and truly established. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Now let's see it. The Holy Ghost spake it, but he spake it by the mouth of David. That's inspiration. Turn over to Acts. Again, this time in chapter 4. Verses 24 and 25. Lord, we're starting in the middle of the verse. Lord, thou art God, which hast made the heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said. So the second psalm came from the mouth of David, but it was God speaking through the mouth of David. Then we turn over to chapter 28, verse 25. This is Paul's final word to the Jews in Rome. Read the last couple of lines of the verse. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, and he goes on to quote. Notice how he leaves the Jews. The Holy Ghost spake by the prophet Isaiah. This comes up again in Hebrews 3 and verse 7 and Hebrews 4 and verse 7. You have the quotation from what David says. And it said, David said this. Today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. But then it says, the Holy Ghost said it. It's exactly the same truth. Inspiration. David said it, but the Holy Spirit actually was the speaker. You get it again in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul, whom I take to be the writer of Hebrews, takes up the same truth. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8. He's looking over the entire area of Exodus, Leviticus, and he says, the Holy Ghost this signifies. Just a wee word in passing. An awful lot of people, when they read Exodus and they read Leviticus, they never understand what the Holy Ghost is signifying. Remember that every part of Scripture is inspired. Every part. I'm going to digress a little. But I'm saying that what the Holy Spirit writes in Scripture, He signifies something. And if you can't see it, then ask the Lord to show you it. When you read the Psalms, for instance, there are many little words that most people now leave out in the reading. The Selah doesn't mean anything. It's just a musical command, they think. Well, they're not absolutely certain. Or it may mean rest or pause. Fine. If the Holy Ghost wrote it, you read it. It's as simple as that. It's no less inspired than the hallelujahs that you find in the same psalm. And dare any man read the psalms and leave out the hallelujahs? Why then leave out the selahs? Actually, there's a very great side issue here that you may want to study out on your own. And just see the use that the Holy Ghost makes in Scripture of pauses and silences. And if the Holy Ghost says, Selah, be silent, or pause, or rest, or stop and think, then you do it, but don't leave it out. It's all inspired. The Holy Ghost signifies what is in this book. Now that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Let's turn to a lovely verse in the beginning of Luke's Gospel. This is what the New Testament says for itself. Luke chapter 1, verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Now let's stop there for a minute. Was Luke among the disciples from the very first? Was it? Do you find Luke among the 12? I don't. So what does it mean? Actually, the very first is a very interesting expression. Can at times be simply translated that way. But in John chapter 3 you have the same word. You must be born again. Or from above. The word here means simply from above. Now watch it carefully. Here's Luke. I had a perfect understanding of all things from above. That's where he got his information. Man, I hear the arguments, and I read the arguments that go on about the documents that lie behind the New Testament Gospels. Scholars have invented what they haven't been able to find. They have given names to non-existent documents. And one fool, oh, he was a very educated fool. He was one of the foremost scholars in Europe, but he was a fool nonetheless. He actually produced the Gospel according to Q. Who is Q? Q is the letter. It's taken from a German word that goes for the imaginary document that underlies the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to tell you, Luke did not get his information from some mythical document. Luke did not sit down and copy from Mark and figure out what he could get out of Matthew. I am told by Luke himself that he had a perfect understanding from above. That's where he got it. He got it from the Lord. That's inspiration. Paul the Apostle says the same thing for himself over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 13. And what does he say? He says, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And I want you to get this, that the Holy Ghost taught not only the wisdom, but he taught the very words that Paul used to convey the wisdom. That's verbal inspiration. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1 and see how strongly Paul held this. He says, verse 9, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Verse 11, why? How can Paul say that? How can Paul say, let any man who differs from me go to hell? Not an awful lot of ecumenical toleration there, is there? How can Paul say that? Well, listen, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why he could say it. It's the inspired, inerrant word of God. I could go right through the New Testament scriptures again and again and again, did time permit, and show you how the New Testament also claims for itself inspiration. Now here's the sword. The Bible exists. You can't get around that. The existence of this sword is due not to the genius of Moses or of David or of Isaiah or of Paul. The existence of this sword is due to the Spirit of the living God. That is what the Bible claims. It is the sword of the Spirit. Now we can come to the evidence. Because the second thing I say is this. Not only is the existence of the sword due to the Spirit, but the excellence of the sword is due to its divine maker. Once you accept this biblical testimony, then you can do justice to the facts of Scripture, to the excellencies, as the New, or as the Westminster Confession of Faith calls it. You know, these can't be explained in any other way. If you try to deny that the Bible is what it claims to be, you cannot be honest with that book.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.